We are here at the foothills of Lukenya, just outside of the city of Nairobi, where we breathe the air of freedom, even as we talk about the subject of slavery. Slavery is a subject that evokes different and painful emotions, particularly as regards the continent of Africa. We are not naive to assume that slavery has not existed in different parts of the world under different guises. But when we talk about the continent of Africa, the pain that it has and indeed continues to visit upon the African psyche is without comparison. History now tells us that the African has been the victim of slavery since the 7th century. History records that as early as that date, the 7th century, when the Arabs moved into the northern part of Africa, persons of color were transported across the desert and they were taken to different parts of what is now described as the Arab world. We also know that Arab traders were in the coastal part of, eastern coastal part of East Africa and were involved intimately in slavery. We never say this, but it is something that ought to be repeated again and again, if only to remind us that large populations of Africans were taken into the Arab world for domestic work and the men were castrated in order for them to work in the harems. That story is never told, and that story still has an impact even as we speak today. The most documented of the slave trade is the transatlantic trade. But even before the transatlantic trade, as early as the 15th century, when the Portuguese and the Spanish explorers were looking for spices in India, they had started scouting for slaves in the coastal part of Africa on the eastern side. We are aware of the activities of Vasco da Gama when he visited different parts of West Africa. We are aware of the many padraos that they put up in order to mark territory for the Portuguese. And we are aware how Vasco da Gama and other Portuguese explorers were welcomed in different parts of Africa, most famously by King Nzinga of the Congo, who welcomed them and entered into a treaty on the understanding that they would be traded in different commodities. But lo and behold, before long, they were trading in human beings. And we are aware that thousands, if not millions, of Africans were taken from what is now Sao Tome and Principe in Cabo Verde, in Guinea-Bissau and Angola. And today, if you see the black population to be found in Brazil, or to be found in Colombia, or to be found in different islands in the Caribbean, you must trace it to that trade. And it did not stop there. We also had the transatlantic trade. And history now tells us that millions of Africans were taken away to what is now the United States of America, to Jamaica, to Trinidad and Tobago, to Barbados, to St. Kitts and Nevis, to St. Grenadines, and all these are found there and they were made into commodities. What was the impact of slavery on Africa? At a time when Africa was agrarian, at a time when agriculture was one of the most important activities in Africa, whom did they take? They took our best men and women and took them to other parts of the world to build those parts of the world. Africa has been affected by that act till this day. They destroyed Africa by taking their very best and taking those very best to their lands to till, to plant sugarcane, to plant cotton, to work their railways, to be their servants. They were breeding them in order to produce labor for their activities. Their dignity was taken away. Their religion and spirituality was undermined. Their names were taken away. Their languages were taken away. Their self-esteem was taken away. And their lands were left bare. So that today, when we talk about slavery and its impact, we must talk about it from several perspectives. We must talk about the impact on spirituality. You know, African populations and African countries had organized methods of worship. Those were destroyed. Today we see aspects of it outside of the continent of Africa, in Haiti, which is in chaos, aspects of it in Benin, in the mother continent, but spirituality was destroyed. Governance systems were destroyed. When the enslavers came, they found organized systems of governance amongst the Mandinka, amongst the Yoruba, amongst the Baganda, amongst the Bakongo, amongst the Zulu, amongst the Bunyoro Kitara, amongst the Maasai, amongst the different communities, and they destroyed all those systems of governance in a manner that has never been restored. And they did not stop there. They took away their culture. They were told that their culture was nothing, that they had to embrace other cultures. They started to refer to them as descendants of the Gauls. They took away their culture and they took away their self-esteem. And they did not stop there. Those who were taken to different parts of the world, they were given different names. Even their names were taken away from them in order to ensure that they had no capacity to trace themselves back to their ancestral land. They took away their language so that they could no longer speak their language. They had to speak in foreign tongues, as I am speaking now. They did not speak Bambara. They did not speak Igbo or Luo or Luganda. They were defined, and their intellect was defined by the foreign languages that they spoke. They took away their self-esteem. And when you take a person's self-esteem away, then you have reduced him or her to a thing. They became chattels to be traded. And I can so very well remember in the United States of America, when they were talking about emancipation, they did not, in my view, mean it to the extent that it included persons of African origin. When the Americans were sitting in Philadelphia and saying that we hold this truth to be self-evident, that all men are born equal and that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, they did not include Africans in their estimation. They were still chattels. And when the civil rights movement was coming along in the United States of America, even as recently as the 1960s, persons of African origin were being discriminated against. That is the impact of slavery. It is the impact of slavery because Africans, in the words of Franz Fanon, had been thingified. They had been made into things which could be traded. They had been made into commodity which could be bought and sold in the market. And that is still alive today. The impact is so grave and so heavy that I understand when Kwame Nkrumah was saying that perhaps one of the greatest things that will be difficult to deal with, even when we regain our political and economic independence, was the impact on our psyche. That is how I understand Malcolm X when he's saying that no African, wherever he is in the world, will ever be respected as he or she ought to be respected until we deal with the impact of slavery, which taught the African to take the back door. And if there is no back door, they'll create a back door because they have been conditioned to believe that they should not use the front door. That is how I understand the activities of Rosa Parks in the United States on that day when she refused to stand up in order to resist. the impact of slavery on the continent of Africa is alive and well. And I dare say that even though we talk about slavery in the past tense, slavery is still alive and well under different guises. But classical traditional slavery has had an impact that is immeasurable. Immeasurable because there is no sector of human life, of African life, that it does not affect. Today, when we see the conflicts in places such as Haiti, we ought to be brave enough to say that that is the impact of slavery. When we see the activities that are happening in the Caribbean, we must remind ourselves that this is the impact of slavery. That is why in a number of islands in the Caribbean, we still have the Queen, or now it is the King of England, as the titular head of those countries. I'm happy that countries are now beginning to run away. I now see in different parts of Africa, when you are lectured to by Western powers, this is the impact of slavery, because in their minds, you are still children to be guided on how to govern yourself. They are still slave masters. Even this thing that you call democracy, that you brought to us, is a latter-day way of enslaving us. We have our own way of governance, which is appropriate to our circumstances in our different ways, and we are going to begin to liberate ourselves totally. Slavery must be given a death blow, because there is nothing worse. Even when they talked about emancipation, and in those days when throughout Europe and America they were talking about emancipation, those were the pangs of guilt, because they had started to realize that this is something that ought not to be done. But did they emancipate? Did they allow emancipation to take a different and a proper turn? Or it was simply metamorphosis of slavery into a different kind of slavery called colonization? So slavery has had different forms, different sets, but it remains one of the greatest testaments of man's inhumanity to man. And the Western world and the Arab world must be eternally guilty. They owe Africa an apology. We are ready to forgive. The conversation around slavery is as painful as pain can be. But we must never, ever allow ourselves to despair, even when we are engaged in painful conversations. We'll come again to continue the conversation. Perhaps the tone will be less painful. See you again.